I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game. Convincing evidence that there can be such a thing as too much baseball, especially when it's 3 a.m. and cold. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
Let's start with two quick college basketball questions. Was the men's final in which UConn beat Butler the least appealing basketball game you've ever seen?
It's certainly the least appealing championship basketball game at any level, including Biddy, that I've ever seen. Yes, indeed. It was a big, steaming cauldron of fail.
And
however, Washington State, 1941, which held the record for offensive futility for 70 years, Bill, is finally off the hook. Thank you, Butler Bulldogs.
And question number two, was the women's final between Notre Dame and Texas A&M the best final ever that didn't include a number one seeded women's team?
It was a pretty good game, I have to admit, and it was really good to see teams from at least the one and a half tier of women's basketball both playing for the title.
Back to the men's final, Charlie. UConn coach Jim Calhoun will start next year with a three-game suspension for NCAA rules violations. Many have wondered why Coach Calhoun will serve that suspension next season instead of serving it late this season when the games would have had a greater impact. In fact, Calhoun is one of those who've asked that question. Wait a minute. Have I got that right?
Yeah, he's now saying that he offered to take three games off this year, but the NCAA insists they take them on next year. He's backing and filling at this point at a tremendous rate, because if the NCAA is really going to sit down and talk to Nate Miles, who is the player around whom all the current allegations are swirling, Jim Calhoun's in deeper trouble than he was before, and he knows it.
U.S. District Judge Susan Richard Nelson said this week that she will need, quote, a couple of weeks to decide whether the NFL lockout is legal. In the meantime, she hopes the league and the Players Association will come to an agreement before such a decision is necessary. You want to handicap that proposition?
She's given them a chance. And basically, she also told them both to shut up, which is probably the most popular.
Speaking for millions of
the most popular ruling by a federal judge in a long time. The problem is they can't decide where the talks were going to be and who's going to supervise them. So my answer to Judge Susan Richard Nelson, who probably wants this off her plate at this point, is get ready. It's coming back to your plate.
What the NFL needs right now, Charlie, is a warm and fuzzy football story, I think. So would you like to tell everybody how William the Refrigerator Perry recently reacquired his Super Bowl ring?
The refrigerator's health has been awful. He has Guillain-Barré syndrome. He has trouble getting around. He's using a scooter. His hearing's going, but he was not going to wear a hearing aid. Anyway, somehow his Super Bowl ring got misplaced or stolen or sold, and he was contacted by the family of a 10-year-old boy from Pittsburgh who used $8,500 of his college money to buy the ring and then found out that Mr. Perry had been sick and gave it back to him, which is really nice. And, you know, it's so warm and fuzzy that I'm sitting here wondering how it is a 10-year-old already has $8,500 for college.
The Boston Red Sox are off to their worst start since 1945, but never fear. Charlie, Red Sox Nation is still behind the team, right?
No, the ticket prices have slumped 40% because of the worst starting record they've had since after VE Day. And they don't have a world war to blame it on this time.
Meanwhile, the Baltimore Orioles seem well on their way to breaking that streak of 13 consecutive losing seasons, but veteran second baseman Brian Roberts says the team isn't quite ready to claim the pennant yet. I think probably that's wise.
What do you think? Yes, they are going to return to stinkhood at some point this year. I have no doubt.
For the first time in franchise history, Vancouver has won the President's Trophy, which is awarded to the NHL team with the best regular season record. Can the Canucks turn this first into something bigger, say a run at the Stanley Cup?
Do you know anything about the Vancouver Canucks, Bill, besides the fact they play in British Columbia? I do not. This is a happy surprise for
me. Absolutely.
I presume since they're the best team in their particular conference, they probably can win the Stanley Cup. I'm hockey guy that way.
Another team hoping to kiss Lord Stanley's chalice this June is the Washington Capitals. The Capitals were ousted by Montreal in the first round last season, but they hope to turn things around this year by asking their best player to play worse. Wait a minute, did I misread that?
To play more under control. Yeah, they're asking Alex Ovechkin to try not to be the scintillating jump-out-of-your-seat player that he's always been his entire career and go back to the basics. This is compared by hockey observers to what the Detroit Red Wings had Steve Yzerman do early in his career. And Ovechkin says, of course, it's good when some people are going to compare us with Detroit, but they won the cup, right? We'll see what's going to happen. You know what that means? Yeah, I'll do this for half a season, and if it doesn't work, my butt's going 1-on-4 again.
What's the likelihood that someone other than the Chicago Bulls' Derrick Rose will be voted the NBA's most valuable player this season?
Well, I think it's still possible that it may go to one of the established name brands, but right now, the way Derrick Rose played against the Celtics the other night, he is the most important player in the league right now.
I assume that one of your objections to soccer, Charlie, is that sometimes the players flop or dive, and so I can only imagine that you're pleased with the new shin pads offered by the British design firm Small Fry.
Yes, they have built-in sensors and magnets that can sense if someone falls without being touched by another player and sends an alarm to the referee. Someone is going to get electrocuted by these. You watch. It will be a player or somebody who dives in front of him or one of the referees will get lit up like a Christmas tree at some point. I don't trust this technology.
Most kids whose pleas for a pony go unheeded end up with a bicycle or a skateboard. But what do you think of the German teen Regina Mayer's attempt to cope with her disappointment at not getting that pony?
I'll tell you what. You bloom where you're planted, and a carpenter never blames her tools, and Regina Mayer taught her cow, Luna, to show jump. And there is photographic proof right
proof.
Here. And Luna's form is not bad.
Is here where we say, I've never seen a jumping cow, I never hope to see one, but I can tell you anyhow, I'd rather see than be
exactly.
One.
And not only that, in the background of the photo, you can see a dish running away with a spoon.
And finally, Troy Tulowitzki of the Colorado Rockies had invited fans to vote for the song that would be played as he approached the plate. The fans chose Katy Perry's Firework, but after going 0-8 to start the season, Tulowitzki switched his walk-up song to Justin Bieber's Baby. So, do you expect other major leaguers will soon be catching Bieber fever?
Well, the real tragedy here is having switched to the miserable piece of pop belly button lint that is Justin Bieber, Tulowitzki started to hit the ball.
Wait a minute, the phone lines are lighting up.
Tulowitzki started to hit the ball, which means those people going to the Rockies games this year are going to have this inflicted on them for 82 games. Doesn't anyone remember Otis Redding? Holy jumping cow!
Charlie Pierce is the author of Idiot America, various other books as well. He joins me each week at this time on Only a Game. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.